So first of all, I just really wanted to thank you guys all, Vine Street as a whole. Honestly, you guys are the ones who made this trip possible, both financially and through prayer. It was really encouraging. I got messages from some of you throughout the trip just saying that you were praying for me, and before the trip, just being super encouraging, and that honestly meant the world to me and was just super encouraging to my heart and my soul before I went on the trip and then while I was on the trip. So what we went to Nepal to do was to go visit an orphanage and a school kind of run by the orphanage there. So we got there the first night, and we first went to the orphanage, and each night there we would spend some time serving the kids their meals and just bonding with them through that. We would sit with them and eat with them and just talk with them and learn about each of their lives and how they came to be at the orphanage, and then how the Lord has changed their life through being at the orphanage and through going to the school and learning about the Lord and learning about the gospel. And then we would spend our mornings and afternoons at the school. And it was kind of scary because when we were told that we were going to a school, we were told that we were just kind of helping out with some English classes there. And then we got there and they told us that plans had changed a little bit and instead we would be teaching, which was exciting because most of us are teacher ed majors. So we were kind of up for the challenge, but at the same time, super scary because most of us had never taught before, and it was teaching kids from a totally different culture. But the Lord was super gracious, and it went amazingly, and the kids were patient with us, and the teachers were super kind and kind of told us what they expected of us, and thankfully, thanks to the grace of God, it went really well. So that's what we spent our time there doing, just connecting with these kids and hopefully serving them well in the school. And overall, just kind of showing them that we love them and they are very loved and cared for, even though most of their lives they've been shown very differently. Many of these kids grew up on the streets, whether they were actual orphans or just social orphans, meaning that their parents just didn't really care and just let them run around on the streets. They weren't shown any love or any care, and it was just a blessing for my whole team and I to get to go there and get to love on these kids who hadn't really experienced that before. So that's what we were there to do, and I got a couple pictures on a flash drive to show you guys and kind of explain a little bit more what we were doing there. So, okay, so this is the team that I went with. Most of us are students at Boyce College. Most of us are teacher ed majors as well. And the lady up in the left corner, her name is Dr. Tucker, and she's our professor. Also one of the most amazing women I've ever met in my life. She is such an inspiration to me. She just loves teaching and loves children just with abandon. She lived in Russia, actually, for a while and spent many years of her life teaching there, which is just incredible to me. And then that guy on the left, his name is Craig, and he is from Manna Ministries, which is the ministry that we went with. And they basically work with orphanages and feeding centers all throughout the globe, actually. And Craig is in charge of all the centers in Asia. So he was pretty much the leader for our trip. So that's the first night that we got to the orphanage. They printed out that big sign for us. And honestly, it was such a special experience. I didn't know what to expect when we first got there. I had never been to an orphanage in the States or otherwise, and I was super scared and super nervous. And then we got there, and the kids, I think, were also a little nervous. They didn't know what to think about all these white teenagers coming in. But they welcomed us with open arms, and it was an incredible experience just the first night, getting to know them already. It was really fun. So that's what the beginning of our nights at the orphanage would look like. We would feed meals like that to the kids every night. And then after we were done feeding them, we would just kind of sit with them and talk with them for a while, and the kids would spend some time telling us about their lives. One interesting thing was they taught us how to eat with our hands. As you can see in the picture, lots of them are using utensils because they're younger, but most of the older ones would just eat using their hands, and they told us that there's a very specific way to do that. You just use your hand and, like, bunch all the rice up and then, like, use your thumb to get it into your mouth. So we did learn some stuff while we were there. This is the school on the first day that we got there. That's kind of their, like, assembly in the morning before they go to their classes. So it was really cool because we got there the first day, and again, none of us knew what to expect. We hadn't been to a school in Nepal before, and we got there, and it was really interesting because the first thing that the kids did, they were singing when we first got there, and then they did their morning exercises, and then they actually prayed, which was really special because this school isn't a Christian school. It's run by Christians, but it can't be Christian because it also is part of the government. So they can't be outwardly Christian. So it's just advertised as an English school, and then mostly kids from the orphanage and then kids from the slum around the school go there. But even though it's not outwardly Christian, they were able to teach their kids a lot about the Lord and share the gospel with them a lot. So it was really special to see that. That's the kids from the seventh grade classroom, and they were a rambunctious group, but they were super fun, and it was just great to see. These kids spoke English really well. Lots of the kids who were about in third grade or higher, they spoke English really well since it was an English school, and these kids were so much fun to interact with because we were able to have real conversations with them. And one of the really cool things was lots of the kids in the fifth, sixth, and seventh grade, they would come and ask us to sing to them, which was kind of strange because none of us are like exceptional singers. But they asked us to sing, and we would say, okay, what song? And they would ask us to sing Reckless Love and 10,000 Reasons mostly. Each kid's like in all the classrooms, that's what they asked for. So that was really interesting to hear the kids ask for those songs. And then we got to sing to them and with them, and that was just kind of a special time when we weren't teaching, just to have that moment with them. This is just outside at lunchtime. All the kids would get dismissed, and then they would run and go grab their lunches. And I think this was all of our kind of favorite time of the day, because this was the time when none of us were in our classrooms. We just got to be out and interact with all of the kids as a group. And it was so much fun because the kids would just like come up to us and ask us to play games with them. The little kids who didn't speak English, one of our favorite things to do with them was play like those little hand clapping games, because that's kind of a universal thing. You don't need to speak their language to know that. So that's kind of what our lunchtime would look like. It was only for 15 minutes, but it was definitely one of the best parts of our day. These are the kids in my classroom, so they are super dear to my heart. That boy in the front, his name is Samuel, and throughout my time in, that's the kindergarten classroom, throughout my time in the kindergarten classroom, we were mostly working on spelling English words, and I noticed that Samuel had a lot of trouble with like placement of the letters on the page, and he would have a lot of trouble just writing the letters in general. He would write kind of symbols that weren't English and they weren't Nepali either. So I talked to my professor about it, and she said that he probably has dyslexia, but the thing is, he's living in Nepal and they have no way to like help him with that. So that was just a very eye-opening thing to me, is that these children have the same struggles as our children in the States, but they don't have the means to be taught effectively there. So that was just kind of an eye-opening thing that I saw in that classroom. But overall, my time with the kindergartners was just amazing. It was difficult because I couldn't really talk to them. They didn't speak English because they were so little, but it was so special. I loved them so much. And then this was kind of a goodbye party for us, which was very emotional for all of us. It was on a Sunday, or on a Saturday, sorry. And in Nepal, Saturday is kind of like our Sunday. So we went to the orphanage and had a little church service kind of where Craig spoke. He preached. And then this picture is of the kids singing a song to us that they wrote in Nepali for us. And there was not a dry eye in that room. We were all kind of sobbing up there. But yeah, just as they welcomed us with open arms, they said goodbye to us, and it was sad, but it was such a sweet time. We actually had a time where Bernard, who is the man who runs the orphanage and the school, we had him and his wife come up, and we prayed for them, and then all the kids came up, and they prayed for us, and it was just an amazing time. Just amazing to see the work that God has done in these children's lives. One thing that, if you've asked me about my trip, I've probably said already, is just that my favorite thing is getting to see that these kids have hope, that they otherwise would not have. We actually went to a Hindu orphanage in Kathmandu the following day, and there was such a difference. It was the same facility, the same age children, the same amount of children, but there was a clear difference because in this orphanage, in the Christian orphanage, these children had been taught that they do have hope and they have a future. They had been shown the gospel and the good news of Christ, and that made such a difference in their lives. So that was definitely the biggest takeaway from the trip. I included this picture because I wanted to tell you guys the story of this little boy. His name is Joseph, and he was kind of my best friend throughout the week. He was in my classroom. He's a kindergartner. I don't know if you can tell from the picture, but he is very tiny, very skinny, just very little. He had to wear a hat because he gets really cold. He was found in the woods of Nepal because his mom, her husband, Joseph's father, had passed away. Actually, he didn't pass away. He abandoned them. He ran away from them. And in Nepal, as a single woman and as a single mother, it's not possible to support yourself or support your child. So she found a man who was willing to marry her. But in Nepal, a man will not take care of another man's child. So she chose to marry this man and leave Joseph in the woods. Some tourists who were in Nepal and who were hiking up a mountain found this little boy alone and cold in the woods of Nepal, and thankfully contacted pretty much the Nepali version of CPS, and they knew about the orphanage, and they knew that they were the only ones who would take this little boy. And now he's 5 years old, and he is the happiest little boy I have ever seen in my life. And he, oh my goodness, I wish I had his energy and his joy, but he's incredible. So yeah, that's the work that's being done over there. And it's absolutely incredible. And I'm so thankful I was able to go there and see that. This is the last picture. And this actually was not in Pokhara, which is where the orphanage and the school was. This is on our way home. And this is a Hindu temple called Pashupati. And it's the most holy and most sacred and the biggest Hindu temple. And I'm telling you guys about this because we saw this at the end of our trip, and it really was just the culmination of everything because it showed the importance of the work that's being done over there. This temple, I don't know if you can see in the pictures, but there's kind of in the left like a yellow orange flame. You can kind of see that. In Hinduism, within the first 24 hours that you pass away, you're supposed to be cremated. And people would travel countries away, and they would come to this temple to die. And then they just cremate them right there. You can see there's a funeral processional happening kind of in the middle there. And this happens all day, every day, 24 hours a day. And they have probably like at least 10 or 12 ghats, which are the places where they cremate the bodies, and then they just sweep them into the river. And people bathe in that river because it's the most holy river for Hinduism. And we went and we saw that, and I was just blown away. I never knew that that happened, and I think at least I definitely lived in ignorance, not really knowing how Hindu and how lost this nation is. And just seeing that was so eye-opening and affecting and impactful to me. And it was just great to see that that's why we went, and that's why we need to go, and that's why we need to send people there to tell about the gospel, to be a light in the darkness. And Nepal is such a dark place, and the light shines even more brightly there. So yeah, that's kind of the culmination of it all.
Thanks so much, Amanda. Let's just take a few minutes to pray. So it's Craig, right? He works with Manna. Okay. So, Rachel, would you pray for Craig and for Manna and just the work that they're doing in Nepal and all around the world? And then what was the name of the couple who runs the school? Bunad and Sumatra. Awesome. Josh, would you pray for them, Bunad and Sumatra, and the school there in Nepal? Awesome. Perfect. Okay. Rachel.